Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I hope you have your notes as well. The notes and the questions and all. Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 18. Would you just follow along? I'm going to read this morning from the New International Version. The Apostle Paul writes this: "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature or to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in this command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desire of the sinful nature or of the flesh. For the flesh, or sinful nature, desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature, or flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." May the Lord bless our understanding of this and all of Scripture, as our minds are guided by the Holy Spirit who is in us. So I trust you've been using your television to enjoy the Olympics from a distance. Have you? Have you enjoyed them? It doesn't even have to be an American winning to enjoy some amazing performances. Well, I'd lead off, and you'll notice in your notes, I start out with everyone battles with the flesh. So we're watching the Olympics, and we're watching people who have been battling with the flesh. They've been battling with muscles. I think of these athletes, muscles and tendons and joints that have gone through unbelievable demand leading up to this time at the Olympics. It was tough to see one athlete go down this last week that was so needed by her volleyball team. I was mindful as I saw her playing. I thought of our volleyball player from Whittier College. She's now graduated from there, but I've been watching Jasmine Sudbrook so many times play. I thought some of these girls just remind me of Jasmine. They are skilled, and they go through a whole lot for years to get to that level to play at her level, and this young woman, and she went down, and you could see that the team was like, what are we going to do without her? And battling with the flesh, you know, sometimes joints and muscles and tendons and the mind just weren't meant to take this kind of abuse. Well, I know lots of people are enjoying the Olympics, because when I went to the gym this last Friday and Monday, I could tell people had been watching the Olympics, because they were having their own Olympian moment as they were preparing, battling with the flesh. It was just, honestly, it was really fun. Except for the fact that I had a tough time getting to some of the machines that I normally go to in this order. They were taking my machine. What am I going to do as I battle my flesh, trying to stay in shape, to battle my blood sugar and and battle the atrophy I see in my shoulders and battle the things that affect the pain that sometimes shoots up my neck. So under the guidance of my physical therapist daughter, I go and dutifully do some of the exercises that she told me I need to do. But you know, the battling the flesh is that kind of athletic battle is, as Paul would talk about it in the flesh, it's just kind of it's minor stuff compared to the stuff that really matters. Really matters. I mean, I know people that lived into their mid-90s who it seemed like they never battled the flesh. They were out there at the gym. You might even say that they had abused their body. But the battle still rages on inside of us, still rages with the things that really matter. Because the battle that Paul is referring to in Galatians chapter 5 and in many, many different letters in the Bible that he includes and that Peter does and that Jesus spoke of and that God spoke of throughout all the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures and the New Testament as well. So God reminds us in the midst of this battle, and you'll see in your notes, I just highlighted this scripture from verse 16 of Galatians 5. So walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and the battle that's going on, as we walk in the Spirit, we are prepared by God's Holy Spirit to deal with the issue of the flesh. Or as the New International Version, and I think the New Living, as it continues to also translate this for our understanding, it refers to the flesh as the sinful nature. Either way, we're talking about this part of us that's like always wants to do battle. Even battle with God. It's inside of us. As we kind of push him back and say, I think I've got this now. I think I can handle this. This trouble with my boss, or this trouble with my family, or this trouble with all the fears that are pushed out all around us right now, so that we're afraid to be with family and friends, and we're afraid to go out on the street, and we keep a safe distance between us and everybody else because it gives us reason to be desperately afraid. Walk in the Spirit. Last week we talked about what walking in the Spirit really entails. And it was that we talked about a couple of things that are critically important. One is to have a desire. If we're going to walk in the Spirit, we have to have a desire to hear from the Holy Spirit. So is that one of your overriding desires in life, to hear from God? And when was the last time you heard from him? And how does what you hear from him affect the way you look at life, and the way you respond to the demands, all the different demands of life, all the different fears, all the different challenges? How does, when you listen to him, how does that then do this second part? A desire to listen, and then a commitment to do what he says. That's walking in the Spirit. Basic bottom line, a desire to listen and hear from God all the time. Or when our flesh one way or the other is screaming out and we haven't liked the results that we've gotten from being in the flesh, we cry out and we listen afresh. How's it been for you? Have you been having a desire to hear from God. When there's pain in your life and challenges, have you desired to hear from him? And then to do whatever the Holy Spirit says from that point moving forward. So, verse 16, I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, or sinful nature, desires what is contrary to God. It is contrary to the Spirit. And the Spirit, what's the Spirit after? That which is contrary to human nature. Well, God made us this way, did he? Didn't he? Well, he put us in the flesh, but he didn't desire that this human nature would override his will, just like all the time, all the time. They are in conflict with each other so that they do not do what you want. Well, if I didn't want to do it, why did I do it? Well, that's because of the human nature, because of the flesh. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. You know, the flesh is it's a short little Greek word that is employed repeatedly. Paul uses it a lot. In the book of Romans, he uses it a lot. In the book of Galatians, which is it's kind of like a mini version of the book of Romans. It really is. It's just kind of condenses it. I was going to think about it as it might be like the Cliff Notes of Romans, but that probably would be a little bit, I'd be minimizing it too much. But I guess I just said that, didn't I? The word flesh, it refers to, it could refer to, there it is, just the flesh. Jesus said, He said, come, touch my flesh. Touch my flesh. John said in 1 John chapter 1, he said, that which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes. We saw that this was no hologram. This was no projection. This was no ghost that we were seeing. This was the real deal. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen with our eyes, we have heard with our ears, and we have touched this one who was from the beginning. And then he poured himself out of heaven, and he took on flesh, so that in his flesh they beat him, and they put a crown of thorns on his flesh, and they pierced his hands and his feet. And they jabbed a spear through his side. And when Thomas was left out of the picture, he said, unless I see and unless I put my hands in those wounds, I won't believe it. Jesus said, come and touch my flesh. The flesh is flesh, flesh and bones. There it is. It's the real deal. But flesh is also, when Paul uses the term flesh, he's referring as well to the unsaved person. Now I want you to look at how Paul uses it. He uses it in this word flesh in a number of ways in the book of Romans. So turn please to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, look at verses 4 and 5. So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, or what have you learned? What's the word? So when you were controlled by the flesh or sinful nature, the Greek word is sarx, when we were controlled by the sinful nature, flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies so that we bore fruit for death. When we were he's talking about sinful man before sinful man becomes saved. If you are saved, you are not that person. If you're saved, if you have come to a point where you said, I'm a sinner, I am lost without a Savior, I need a Savior, and I realize that Jesus is the only Savior. If you've come to Christ and you've given your life to Him, then you're not that person, although you were, because Paul puts it in the past tense. For when we were controlled by the sinful nature, when we were still lost and without hope, controlled by the sinful nature. Now he's going to talk about what happens for the person who is not, does not have to be controlled and has a way out of being controlled by that sinful nature. But here in verse 5, he's saying, if when we were this, and he's saying this to the church there in Rome, when you were like that, and you were a dead man. Do you know that? You were a dead man walking. That's who you were. And you had no hope. The word sarx or flesh, or referring to the sinful nature, also refers, and I like the way John MacArthur, pastor on the other side of the city and who also speaks to countless people really all over the world, he writes in his commentary on the book of Galatians, he says that here Paul is referring to, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, he's referring to the unredeemed humanness that awaits redemption. Well, I thought I was already redeemed. Now, let me finish the sentence. This is the unredeemed humanness that waits glorification when we see Christ face to face. That's referred to in Paul's writing as being glorified. God glorifies our bodies. He glorifies us in His presence as we see Him face to face, either at death or at His return. And we get that to that point that we looked forward to, when the unredeemed us, the person that struggles with this stinking pain that shoots up the back of my head, this flesh that struggles with some of the most insane, stupid things I say and attitudes that I have, that I don't like getting stuck with that attitude. I don't. I feel like such a puny dummy that I start to feel sorry for myself and whine and cry about it to the people that can't get away from it. Other people can avoid me like the plague, but she can't. Yeah. So this is, but I tell you, if you're a lost person now, if you're not saved yet, if you just think that there's just no hope, you keep going down that road over and over and over again, and it's like you don't have any power to come to your senses. Well, let me tell you, if you feel like you can't come to your senses and get on top of things and correct your behavior, if you think it's just absolutely hopeless, then I think you maybe better take stock and wonder if you've really been serious about putting your trust in Christ. Because quite frankly, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're really a believer in Him, then you know that any time you can call out to him and say, Abba, Father, help. There I go again. Whining and moaning and groaning. Or putting my foot in my mouth. Would you please forgive me and help me get beyond this and be able to confess my stupidity, confess my sin, and move forward. Listen, and if you just can't get out of this rut, maybe you should stop and think, have I really put my trust in Christ? Or was I, every time we did this at the Lord's table, I thought this was some sort of religious event that I needed to do to make myself better. I needed to, quote, remember what Jesus did for me, and then everything would be fine and dandy. But you kept getting stuck. Folks, if you haven't put your trust in Christ, then you know it. Trust him. And know that you're saved. And understand that the Holy Spirit, who is God, who is the promised one that Jesus said he would send to all of his own, the promised one that Jesus said would bring to their remembrance everything that he said to them, the promised one that he said would convict the world of sin, but not just of sin, but of his righteousness. And that his righteousness was so complete that you could stand before God's presence blameless and with great joy. You could experience the joy of forgiveness and the strength of the Lord in whatever you're doing. I didn't understand all that was happening in my life when I was the age of some of the kids up in the balcony and I gave my life to Christ. But something started then. As I realized that I could know that I was saved. And I didn't even know so much about the Holy Spirit then. But he was in me to the point that my confidence was in Christ. Do you have confidence in Christ like that? That he is in you, and that the battle in the flesh is not one that you have to be overwhelmed by. But Paul is very, very straightforward when he says that there's this battle that's going on all the time. And the battle is between our sinful nature, this unredeemed self that awaits the glorification. When I won't have to go through all this stuff, but this battle that's going on is between the flesh, my sinful nature, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now, let me say this. It's a battle. But it's a fight, you know. It's a fight, but it's not a fair fight. Do you understand that? This is not a fair fight. I mean, seriously, because the Spirit is never going to lose. Amen? He's never going to lose. Now, I might still wallow around because I'm not walking in the Spirit. I'm not interested in listening to him right now. I'm just interested. I'll take my beating on the other side of this sin. You know, but the Spirit that is in me is going to win. He is going to win. And I know people that have struggled with some awful, awful things that they're just awful from even the world's standpoint. Awful, awful addictions. I mean, of all kinds. Don't just plug in and limit it to this. Awful addictions. But the Holy Spirit says that to the believer, once again, do you want to listen? Yeah, I do now. I do. And what are you going to do about it when you listen? Just simply do what I say. You know, we've got things that work against us. You know, there's a lot of these different sins. Are you proud? Are you proud? Come on. Are you? I don't know. Just think about this. I'm not asking you to raise your hands now. But do you think you're proud? Of course you are. You're just like me. Come on. I had pride just kind of welled up in me this past week. And, you know, it happens every time somebody says I need help. Because I'm a man, guys. I'm a man. I don't need help. How stupid is that? I need help with my thought process. So I went to the car wash and I looked at the car and it's my favorite car wash. I really like it. I don't mind paying money to go through that car wash. It's such a good one. And I ride through there and I see this stuff. It's just taken care of me. And at the end, it's got about the best vacuum cleaner I've ever seen at a car wash. And I don't mind the $6 at all, or the $9 even. That's okay. But I drove out and I started to just kind of wipe any leftover few spots here and there. And what are all these spots on the car? And it was like tar. So I went home and I got some wax. I tried to see if I could buff that out. It's terrible. I can't get it out. My neighbor across the street, Kerwin, is a retired firefighter. He's used to washing and waxing fire trucks. Now he's retired, and so he just does this kind of stuff because it's his hobby. He loves, even when his firefighter son comes up from San Diego, he gets his truck and he just makes everything look clean. I said, Kerwin, listen, all I want to know is what kind of product do you use on that and stuff like this? What would you do? He came over to my driveway and he looks and he goes, I'll be here tomorrow and we'll work on that together. And I went, oh, no, I don't want you to have to. No, don't do that. No, I'll be over tomorrow. We'll do this. I've got some good stuff and, you know, we'll just take care of it. Well, he came over the next day and we had a car washing, waxing party. I learned that you clean car windows. Forget that, those commercial cleaners. It's water. Distilled water. Just distilled water on your home windows, on your car windows, on the inside and outside. Oh, and now we're going to spray a little bit of distilled water here, and then we'll work that on the car so it's clean, and then we can use this other stuff. I mean, I learned so much stuff. And 2 hours later, with him and me working, we finished the job just on the hood and the trunk. I mean, it kind of hurt my pride to have to take that, but boy, I'm sure glad I didn't spend 4 or 6 hours on this alone. He actually did more of it than I did. Now, maybe you're the same. Maybe you're a little bit the same way. Your kids say to you, as it will happen to those of you up there, one day your kids will say to you, like my kids have said, Dad, stay off ladders. So then you condescend to, I'm now down to a two-step ladder. That's only a two-step ladder. Okay, just two steps. Stay off ladders. Oh, by the way, Dad, it'll come to this point, the day I need to use a cane. And they'll say, use a cane. You don't want to fall. Oh, it's so embarrassing to use a cane. Forget it. I don't need a cane. Face plant. I know it's coming. Because my friends that have criticized other people for not using a cane have hit the ground and bounced on their mouth. Oof. It's pride. In the flesh, we don't want help. We don't need help. And God says, no, you need help. So the second point in the message is just simply this. Recognize your flesh, your proclivity to ask God for help and to take his help. That's what the flesh is. That's what the sinful nature is. I was talking to a Jewish friend this last week. We were just talking about how he's not even a practicing Jew. Observant at a distance. Judaism, but my Christian friend and I were talking with him, and we're just chatting about life. And I said, "Boy, you know, God's people, all of us, have hard heads, don't we? And how often God has said to his people, 'Are you trusting me?' Why does he say, 'Fear the Lord'? Fear the Lord and don't fear people. Don't fear." I mean, I read an article this morning about someone was saying, whatever happened to the land of the brave? The home of the free and the land of the brave. We're a bunch of chickens. We're afraid to go out on the street. Come on. Seriously. I respect disease. I really do. You know it because you've heard me say, if you've been around for long, every flu season I would say, just bow to each other. Don't stick your hand out. Don't hug each other. It's flu season. I respect when it's the right time to do to keep a distance. But fear, afraid to go out on the street inside of a city. We're going back on Tuesday. We're going back and flying into Minneapolis, Minnesota. What do you know about Minneapolis? Man, I'm scared to death to go into some places in Minneapolis that were just part of my... that's where I lived and grew up, and I love this beautiful city. But we are afraid. Afraid. God says, all you need to be really ultimately afraid of is me. Because I hold your life in my hands. That's it. I hold your life. Can I be afraid for my kids? Well, I guess that is part of the human nature, isn't it? Because what God wants me to do, I did it. I remember so well the day we dedicated our firstborn. And I said from the pulpit, I'm a pastor and now I'm dedicating my firstborn. I'm full of just joy. And I said, Lord, I know you care about him more than I could ever care about him. And you know what happened? About 2 months later, God said to me, really? Because we just about lost him. The anesthesiologist at Children's Hospital in downtown Minneapolis said to us, that was one of the sickest kids I've ever seen. Kind of wondered if he was going to make it. Take ownership of where your flesh is weak. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is strong. Recognize where your flesh is weak. Listen to what Jesus said. He said this in the garden. Come pray with me, please. Pray for me. Jesus said this. He's God. He's the one we talk to, isn't he? We pray in his name. That night he even said to his disciples, pray in my name. And whatever you ask in my name will be given to you. But that night he said to the disciples, pray for me. Because my spirit, my soul is troubled. In his flesh, not sinful flesh, in his soul, he was now troubled because he knew what he was facing. And he knew this, I hope you understand, folks, throughout his entire ministry, Jesus kept relying on the presence of the Spirit that was in him, the Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity. Don't ask me to explain it. I don't understand it. Not fully, but the same Spirit he trusted, he now says to us, trust the Spirit who is in you. I'm going to wind down right now, and I'm going to ask you to just read some scripture. I want you to keep, whatever translation you're using, keep thinking in terms of the flesh, because this is really dealing with that tendency that we have to take back control of our lives. I can do this in my, what? Flesh. I can do it. That's why I don't need that walker. Someday, I hope a long ways off, but I don't need it. I can still climb ladders. You should have seen me last year up on the roof. And my wife is saying, John, come down. That was about, maybe she asked me to jump and see if I trusted the Lord. I don't know. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. Meditate on these verses, please. And that doesn't mean once over quickly, okay? Romans 8, verses 5 to 8. Romans 8, verses 9 through 17. I know I could have said it all at one time, but just take it in these chunks and meditate. Chew on it and say, Lord, what do you want to show me in this? Romans 8, verses 26 through 30. Paul is going to take this from one level to the next. Pay attention. Am I willing to walk in the Spirit? In the flesh there are these desires. But look at verse, I will read this, verses 26 through 30. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. That's what the Spirit does. He groans right along in harmony with me. With me. Ugh, it's tough. It's the Holy Spirit. Verse 27, he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. But because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will, and we know that in all things, see, you got to put these passages together. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. For those who have been called, the saved, according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined and conformed and predestined us to be conformed to the, this is why he works these things together. He foreknew us and predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those that he predestined many, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Will you meditate on those words? Will you cultivate a desire to hear from the Spirit, to hear from him? Will you, even as you listen, say, Lord, help me follow through with this now? Because I know that in my flesh, I still want to resist it. You know, it's a battle. It's a fight. But it's not a fair fight because of the one who is in us. Would you stand with me, and I'll close in prayer. Now, before I pray, I just want to say this. You need to take stock. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Do you know he is? Because you know that you're saved. You're not on your own. You were bought with a price, and that was the blood of Christ. Have you put your trust in him? Father, we are so thankful that the Holy Spirit is in us. And Lord, we know that our friends and some of the people that that we know must not have turned to you because they're just wrestling so desperately in their flesh because they want to be better. They want to get on top of things. They want to be successful in life. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here today that is not saved, I can't decide that. I don't know if they are or not, but if they're not, I pray, Lord, that they would turn to you. That they, if they wonder if they are, pray that they would talk to somebody about where they think they stand with you. And I pray, Lord, that your Spirit would woo them to trust Jesus as their Savior and Lord. Lord, I pray that you would now dismiss us with great confidence in the one who causes us to stand before your presence blameless and with great joy. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.